Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I am Deb Balico, and I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. And we're talking today about being kingdom-minded and leaving, you know, in a sense, we were talking offline about leaving a legacy. And how do we devote our time and our resources and our energy and our thoughts? You know, are we focused on relationships or are we focused on tasks? And how that relates to Orphan Relief and Rescue. So we're going to talk about being kingdom-minded and things that last for eternity.
Yeah, I am, you know, in my recording of my Inspired to Action, which you'll have access to soon, I am reminded again of my chapter 15, where I talk about the rewards of a merciful life. There's a couple quotes that I have in there. It says, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give, and that it is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. And that's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And then Gary Goldbrand says, it is not what you believe that counts. It is what you believe enough to do. And in this chapter, I talk about my mom that died unexpectedly. She died of diabetes complications. Every organ in her body had failed. She had a procedure in the hospital where she was filling up with fluid and she had the flu. And so they were filling her up at the same time that they were draining her because she was so severely dehydrated, and she went into cardiac arrest and she actually had to go on life support. But that's where they started testing her for everything and realized that every organ in her body was failing and that she was not going to come out of this alive, basically. So I was living in Texas at that time. My family, my mom was in Seattle. So I get a call, you know, you need to come immediately. She's on life support. So I get on the plane. Right before I got on the plane, I called just to say, hey, how is she? Is she still going to make it till I get there? And they said, no, I'm sorry. She just died. And I did not even know how to process somebody so close to me dying. And I just started just crying and crying. I get on the plane, I'm looking out the window, and I said, Lord, I don't even know how to process this. And I was a mess. And I felt like the Lord just said, thank me for her life. Thank me. And so I was like, okay. And I just started thanking him for the mom that she was and that she loved me and gave me life. And, you know, just started going through my list of thankfulness. And it still was very difficult because it was a 4-hour flight up to Seattle. But I just had this heart of gratefulness that gave me just a different perspective. And then, you know, we got to where all the family was and went through the funeral and different things that we had to go through. But I knew that I had a window of time to help my dad go through her things if he wanted. And he did. My two sisters, they were not at a place where they felt like they could physically go through her things. And so I'm the logistical one of the sisters. And my two sisters were just sitting on the bed. And I was like, okay, what should we do with this? What should we do with that? You know, just asking them questions as I was physically going through her things. And as I was going through her things, I realized all of these things were so dear to her and so important to her. I mean, she loved shoes. She had 60 pairs of shoes under the bed. And they were all like her special shoes. And I was looking through the shoes, asking my sisters, do you want these? Do you not? You know, and I think we maybe saved 2 or 3 pair out of all of them that we would even possibly wear between us. I was the one that fit her shoe size and they weren't my style. And I kind of was sad because I thought these were really important to my mom and all the different things that I started to have to go through of her things that I realized, you know what? This is not going with us. None of this stuff we can take with us. And only what we do on this earth for eternal purposes even matters. You know, my mom is in heaven. She would never look back. We know that. And she would never care about those shoes under her bed once she's in heaven. And yet, in my own life, it was really a reflection time of what am I spending my time on? Yes, we were already in ministry, doing things for the Lord and all of that. But on a daily basis, am I getting so busy in my tasks that I'm missing out on certain relationships or friendships or extra time with my kids? Or, you know, at that time, my three kids were still under my roof. And so, you know, now it's my grandkids. Like, what kind of legacy am I leaving behind that is the only thing that matters really is our relationship with the Lord, because that's our maker. That's who we're going to face at the end. And it's relationships with others and how the legacy that we're leaving behind, that the Lord is walking us through leaving this beautiful part of Him behind in others. And it was very sobering. So as I'm doing the audio, I'm being reminded of what are we spending our time with? You know, Bruce Wilkinson has a book that is called Rewards of a Merciful Life. And our rewards, and he talks about there being a dot, and our dot is our time here on earth. And then he says the line is what goes on forever. That's our eternal life. And yet we're spending our entire focus on that dot. You're getting a big retirement set up. We're figuring it out, which I'm not against retirement at all, because, you know, we don't know how long we're going to make it through this earth and we need to be taking care of ourselves. But focusing on the majority of what we're going to be spending in eternity is really the only thing that's going to last for all of eternity. And it's our relationship with the Lord, and it's our relationship with others and the beauty that we leave behind for others. And Deb, you had read a scripture that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. When we were talking about this story, it made me think of 1 Corinthians 3, specifically verse 10 through 15. But it's talking about foundation, like what are you building your foundation on? And that your foundation for your whole life should be built on Jesus. But I even tying it back to your Bonhoeffer quote, you know, Bonhoeffer was saying the key is gratitude. You know, being grateful for what you do have. Like, do you really need more things in this earth that will fail? Are you building your life on Jesus, or are you building your life on things of this earth? So this passage in 1 Corinthians 3 says, because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on Judgment Day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames. And the reason this verse came to mind is this really kind of was a theme for me even this year, where the Lord, back in December, when I kind of asked the Lord for 2026, I said, what is it that you want me to focus on in this next year? And I saw this image of a fire burning. You know, I was a tall tree by the water with deep roots, and there was this brush fire burning. And it made me nervous. Like, what is that fire? And God was saying, you know, I am the all-consuming fire, and I'm burning things up that are not of me, or that are not, don't have eternal value. And it's uncomfortable. Like, this year will be uncomfortable for me as the Lord begins to reveal things I don't have eternal value and aren't built on Jesus's foundation, because He wants me to surrender them and let them go. Some of those things have to do with my heart, you know, like I'm in counseling, and there's just some things that I have to release in my heart. But it also has to do with, I think, my practice, like my life practice, you know, that I need to be grateful for what I have and not be, where am I investing my money? Where am I putting my time? You know, am I choosing a task? I'm very task oriented. So I'm choosing to go through my to-do list, or I'm choosing to put that to-do list that's never ending down and spend time with a friend. You know, do I have room in my life to be interrupted? Do I have room in my life to be interrupted by my children? And that it's creating space and room to be, it's in those interruptions that I feel like is where we have the opportunity to either share God's love or hear God himself if we slow down enough. So that was the verse that came to mind when you were sharing your story about your mom.
Yeah. And, you know, what I have realized as well is that when we give up our life for the sake of what God is asking us to do, we actually find our life. And we've talked about that in previous podcasts. But it also does bring incredible fulfillment. And I do feel like there's an extra protective layer that we have from the Lord. You know, as it says in Isaiah 58:10, talks about God taking care of us as we take care of the needy. Says that, and if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desires in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And this is what I have seen come to life for me personally and for those that serve with us. You know, Deb, we always talk about our heroes of our staff on the field who really are literally in the trenches of rescuing kids every single day. Even today, I'm reading the report for the week from our monitor, a head monitor. And I'm like, it's a little overwhelming, honestly, because I'm literally reading about 20 different kids that they have re-rescued. You know, they've already been intercepted from being sold or come back from slavery. And for some reason, their parent gets into debt, wants to, you know, sell them. One of the stories was one of the little girls that I had told you guys on one of the previous podcasts this month, that the mom got into debt and she was determined that she's going to sell her daughter because she's in debt. And that still is ongoing. And so this conversation this week was this mother saying, well, I'm really upset because this is my possession. My daughter is my possession. And my possessions need to benefit me to make money, to help me. And I'm reading this in the report because it's word for word what my monitor is telling me she's saying. And they're just saying, just be patient. You know, we don't want you to go to jail. Keep doing your business because, you know, they've directed her to the community savings and loan program. And she's making brooms and different things from scratch to make money. And so she's starting to make money. But it is a little daunting to realize this is what our staff is dealing with on an everyday basis to rescue kids. They're having these conversations with these parents that have no affection for their kids because they don't have Jesus yet. And I say yet because they are going to come to Jesus. It's just a matter of time. And they're going to begin to see the beauty of Jesus and be wooed by the Lord is what we're seeing. And we're seeing just hundreds of parents come to Jesus in these villages. But until they come to Jesus, these children are simply possessions to them. And it is just story after story where I'm just a little overwhelmed. And then I have to reflect and say again, Lord, this is all yours, and give the strength to our staff, give them wisdom, give them discernment, and give them ability. But our staff, they all love Jesus, and they know that everything we do is not only physical, but it's an eternal thing that they're that we're doing. And these things, you know, we're not just feeding kids and rescuing them from being sold, but their eternal soul is what is the most important thing to us. And so our Saturday program, this is where our monitors are actually, this is where they step in and they're doing training as well. They're the disciplers of these kids and they're teaching them about Jesus. And this is where these kids are making a conscious decision to come to Jesus. And this is where by his spirit, he comes and he heals their hearts and restores their souls and their minds and their bodies. And then they come home and their parents sometimes are upset because it messes with their spiritual. They, you know, they said that they don't have their powers. Their powers are diminished when their kids come home, you know, in the spirit realm because of their voodoo practices and different things. But these kids are little warriors for Jesus. And it is incredible. They're worshipers, they're prayer warriors, and they begin to have such faith for their own lives and their families. And I love just watching them just pray and worship. But particularly when they're praying, they're very forceful with their prayers. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it makes, because we're talking too about investing in the kingdom, investing in eternity. And each one on this recent report, just from this last week, 20 children, those are lives. You know, each one of those children have a soul. Each one of them have a name, you know, and God sees each and every one of them and cares for them. And our staff, who really are the heroes, are giving up their life in order to save these children, provide for them, but then also show them this God of love that sees them and cares for them. And we do talk about our staff being our heroes. You know, our head monitor, she herself was trafficked when she was a child and grew up as a slave of a home in horrific conditions, and she survived. And then she came to know Jesus. She married an amazing, amazing man. And this is the passion behind why she wants to protect these other children. She knows what they're being saved from. She knows how vitally important it is to rescue them. And that's why she's given up her life to save more children, is because she too survived those horrific conditions.
Yeah, one of the stories as well this week was a little boy had stopped going to school. And so they went to try to find out why he wasn't at school. And it wasn't that his parents were wanting to traffic him. They found out that the teacher was actually beating him at school. And so they went to the teacher and they had to threaten the teacher that if you do this anymore, we're going to get the police involved, and, you know, had to get the child back into school, you know. And there's so many different scenarios where these kids, in a sense, disappear from school. And it's not the parent that's doing the troubleshooting. It's our monitors that are doing the troubleshooting. And the parents, honestly, they literally said, well, okay, if the boy doesn't want to go to school, he can just work on the farm with us and we'll just make extra money if he's with us. So they didn't care. They didn't want him to go back to school. So our monitor was like, no, that's not the way it works. You know, he's in our program now and he has to go to school. That's part of it. And if he doesn't go to school, then we get the police involved. And so the parents are like, oh, you know, all right, you know. But it is, it's a daily parental thing that our monitors are taking that role and, you know, really trying to encourage these parents to really care about their children. So it's beautiful work. And we are, yeah, just seeing God do what only God can do. And by his spirit, he is moving the mountains of redemption, rescuing, and restoring of these kids' lives and the parents' lives. And we have huge hope for the parents through this as well. And that's, we always need your prayers for this work, because it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord, that these mountains are going to be removed. And that's where we see the beautiful redemption part of the Lord come in and supernaturally change their hearts. So,
mm-hmm. So yeah, Rebecca, to close this out, how would you encourage someone out there who desires to make a shift, you know, to be more kingdom minded or shifting their focus or their attention to things that have eternal value? How would you encourage them if they feel like, I don't know how to, I'm stuck in a rut, I'm stuck in a bad habit, I don't know how to get out of this habit of negativity or habit of consumerism or a habit of coveting, like kind of ungratefulness for what you have? How would you encourage them?
Yeah, for me, I've been challenged to every day wake up and dedicate my day to the Lord and ask the Lord to give me his heart for what is in front of me. And in all my tasks, I mean, if you saw my desk right now, I have little piles of all of my to-do lists, and they're different piles of to-do lists. And I could just get sucked into the tasks of all the things that I need to accomplish. And I'm always asking the Lord to keep me kingdom-minded and focused on what's important. So when I get a phone call, from somebody that I know I'm to stop everything and just talk on that phone, pray with that person. You know, we're preparing for these Africa trips coming up, and I just feel challenged that, you know, yes, I'm telling these different team members about the trip, but I'm also, the Lord's prompting me to stop and to pray for them before I get off the phone. And, you know, one man yesterday, he goes, "Man, you just blessed my socks off. This was incredible," you know, and it's just beautiful. And I love just the beauty of who God is and how Jesus wants to be an extension through our life to others. And it's just stopping, slowing down a little bit to be able to hear this Holy Spirit speak to our hearts about what he wants to do to bless others in front of us. And so what does that look like on a daily basis? It's just asking the Lord from the very start of our morning to help us to be engaged and aware of our surroundings of that day and to be keenly aware when he prompts us to pray for somebody, to speak a word of encouragement to somebody, to just stop and listen, be a listener and not always having to talk and, you know, say something. Just asking the Lord to tenderize our heart a little bit and to be more sensitive from the start of our morning. And then ending our night with not social media, which is easy to do, but I literally have started to put my phone in a totally different room with my alarm on so I can hear my alarm go off. But I can't just grab it in the middle of the night when I wake up at 3 a.m. and just look at it. It's a discipline thing that I'm keeping that out, and I'm ending my evening with some sort of scripture that I'm meditating on and a prayer. And then I go into prayer mode as I'm going into sleep. And I've realized when I wake up in the morning, I'm not bogged down with what the news I just, you know, watched the night before or social media stories that got me a little riled up or whatever. I don't go there right before I go to bed, or it messes with my morning, honestly. And so I'm just trying to discipline myself in these little ways so that I can be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to what God is speaking to my heart about, and not being influenced by these things that distract.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us this week, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.